Blog Talk Radio.
All right, welcome everybody. We are here live tonight. Good to be with you. Hallelujah. All right. And I want to share tonight with you if we can and see what's happening with you guys. Get a chance to pray for you tonight. We're going to pray for everyone tonight, calls of the show. So get in there and let's get ready to pray and bless you and minister to you. One of our favorite things to do. And so hopefully you can receive something from the Lord that will help you tonight, bless you, and cause you to see things differently or walk in a new path, whatever. You'll hear the word of the Lord, the will of the Lord. And, yeah, really, really cool. All right, give you a minute. I'll be right there with you. Welcome, everybody. We're here tonight. Thank you for being with us. And I'm going to share with you tonight some really cool things I think that are important for preparing for the future, preparing for the coming of the Lord Jesus, and getting ready for all that, and making sure that we don't have any blood in our hands. Right? I'm going to make sure we don't have that. Yeah. So hang on a second here. I'll be... All right, let's talk about some of this stuff tonight. We're going to talk about some of the things that we feel like, you know, God is wanting me to, you know, share with people and bring them up to date on what they need to know for the coming days. And so we do our best to do that in every area. I know there's so many people that have so many good teachings and different ministries all over the place. You guys get in on some of that. Thank God. Find what you need and go for it. We fulfill a certain thing here at PGN, and we're very thankful for that. So thank you guys for being a part of that. We feel like we have a very important part of what's happening in the end times. All right. So, yeah, one of the big things, you know, God is really beginning to deal with me about is you know, getting things right with him and, you know, not hiding things, you know, not hiding stuff, not making excuses, you know, to hide the things I've done and whatever, you know, especially as a servant of God. And, you know, when you're a leader, you have a responsibility to feed the people and to keep yourself right with God, you know, so that your life affects them in a positive way, in a God way. And so we really are interested in that and working on that. And so part of my job to keep me pure is keeping the blood off my hands, right, from other people to share with them, you know, what God is saying and, you know, go from there, not compromise. So try to do this the best we can and pray for me as I do that. So one of the things about I want to talk tonight, I sent some text out tonight saying, about David you know, could have turned into a Hitler, but he didn't. And why? And what changed that? What was the thing that changed that? You know, what happened exactly? And so, you know, you have to see what happened in the scripture. In 2 Samuel 11, you know, we see all through 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel, go through the scripture here, you know, and you'll see that, you know, this whole story about David and what he did and what changed his life, what could have been devastating for him, how he could have turned into a Hitler. Because when you're a leader, power over people, especially if they believe in you, like they did David, how that if you, you know, make the wrong decisions and you start covering up stuff or, you know, doing things that you believe are right, but that inside of God and the Word of God are totally not right, you know, and when you keep doing them, my spiritual mom was a German Jew who escaped from Nazi Holocaust. Somehow she, I remember her story, but she found a way through, you know, the fence and came to America, married an Air Force guy, and, you know, that was basically it. And I met her in New Mexico when I lived there, Texas, New Mexico area, when I lived in that area. And so she had told me, she said she was very touched by what happened in Nazi Germany. And she was very aware of, you know, how things look really good at first, and then, you know, things turn. I mean, like, you know, I'm talking about from President Biden to Donald Trump to me to you, your pastor to leaders around the globe. You know, the thing is when you get in the power position, if you are not humble before God and stay humble before God, you could very well become a Hitler really quick. And because that's, she told me, she said, you know, she lived there when all of it went on. She was, again, you know, a young girl, but she remembered things, how that, you know, people just kept seeing Hitler do things that were kind of, you know, off the wall. But at first, he's like, yeah, well, you know, he started talking bad about the Jews and had, you know, all these opinions about the Jews. And it kept getting worse and worse and worse. And the people just kept on letting him get by with it, or at least most of them did. And if anybody came against him, you know, and fought him and tried to stop him, he would have them killed or whatever, or threaten them and get rid of them. So this is a really important thing. I never forget the look on her face when we would watch stories about, like, Corey Ten Boom, you know, saving the Jews, and watching movies with her about, you know, Nazi Holocaust and, you know, all that. It was just, you know, you could see the paranoia still on her face from, you know, are they going to come get me, you know. It's kind of like, because she lived in the era where they came and got them, and she watched a lot of that. So I gleaned a little bit from that, and it's cool how I got connection with a Jew, a Jewish woman who loved God, was born again. She was kind of into Christian psychology. I mean, she was into, you know, counseling people and that kind of thing, which is really good in some ways. I needed some, I think. But she was, you know, a German. She felt so blessed because she had lived through Hitler and escaped as a young girl, and lived to tell about it. And you know, so I'm part of this, where I'm, you know, she wouldn't talk about it too much because it was, you could see the look on her face that it was a horror type thing, you know, like somewhat of paranoia really at times. When we'd watch movies, she would, you know, because they send secret agents out, Hitler did, to find these escaped Jews so that she could, you know, so, and that was a known thing. And so she kind of lived with that, like, are they gonna, you know, they're sending people to me, you know. And so it's a very real thing. And so I was able to observe that and see that happening with her. And she said, Randy, she said, when Hitler came in, it's like everything just, you know, first was good, everybody's excited, and then little by little, he just kind of started turning into, you know, he did it little by little. He turned into this Karen Hitler, the killer, the murderer, the thief, the robber, the, you know, killing people because he thought they were, he convinced himself that the Jews were just a bunch of monkeys, a bunch of animals. And it's what, and little by little, he convinced the people of that to a certain degree. And pretty soon, you know, they were all murdering Jews and killing people just because, you know, they, for whatever reason, they just didn't think they were worthy of it. And he was convinced that they were going to, you know, take over the world, and he was going to stop it and save the world, you know. So, and he got a lot of the German people to believe that very strongly, actually. And he had a kind of not an anointing, but a power behind him, which many people talk different things about what gave him that. But so, and we talked last night about in the realm of how sexual sin, we now know, and with our many of our leaders, and the sacrifice of virgins, and, you know, having sex with them on the altar, and the rituals, and you know, all this stuff, that it's for power and authority, you know. So we know that this is real. This is not fake. It's been busted again. Jim Caviezel, who was in the movie, a Mel Gibson movie, you know, The Passion of the Christ, he exposed, it took 5 years because they kept fighting him on exposing this thing, but he actually knew the people that were part of it and, you know, researched it and found it was true what he was saying. And so he made a movie about it and exposing a lot of this stuff. And so you never know who you're watching on TV. You know, here's the sad part about it. It makes you question people, right? So I think that questioning people can be a good thing if you've got the Holy Spirit in you to help you to, you know, deal with it. If they start becoming, you know, weird and odd and wicked, and little by little, if you have the sermon of the Holy Spirit, you're going to be able to say, I don't want anything to do with this thing anymore because it's ungodly. I'm going to pray for my leaders. That's why the Bible says pray for your leaders. Just like David, King David was loved of God. He was favored. He had a lot of favor. And as he got older, you know, he became really popular. The people loved him. He was a mighty warrior, an amazing man. and he became well-loved. And so he got older, he quit going to war, you know, and let the other guys go to war. And so, as we know, in 2 Samuel talks about all this, how that David had, I don't want to read all the scripture, you can go to it and look at it and kind of touch on some things tonight, how that David, you know, he's on the rooftop, and he sees Bathsheba, this beautiful woman, you know, taking a bath, and, you know, like, what happens with people, you know, a little porno kicking in, you know, it's like all of a sudden he's like, you know, in real life situation. And so he really wants her and invites her over. And of course, you know, in a sense, he kind of raped her in a way. I don't really think they call it rape, but Joyce Meyer talks about how her father raped her 200 times, over 200 times in her lifetime. And she says, he didn't physically do it to me, but he did it to me through fear and, you know, putting fear on me. And this is her testimony, not mine. And so the same thing with David. In a sense, you know, I'm sure he invited her in. They sat down, had a meal. And she's thinking, you know, she's just a regular girl, right? A beautiful regular girl, but a regular girl. And she's going like, her husband is a very faithful, loyal servant of David. And so, you know, I'm sure he finds out about all that, and he's sitting there having dinner with her, and, you know, he just got to that point to where he just made some moves, and pretty soon, you know, they were in bed together, and it's like, he knew who she was, and of course he did know who she was. She was married, and she had, and her Uriah was the guy's name. And so, you know, so he just decided in that moment of temptation and whatever, he made a decision that started bending him toward being a Hitler, an Adolf Hitler. He started with that. It wasn't much. My spiritual mom says, right? It just starts with little things here and there, a little here, a little there, and pretty soon, you know, they're just talking bad about the Jews, calling them monkeys, and they, you know, they're taking over the world. They got an evil plot going on. They're gonna take down Germany, you know, whatever. And so what happened with David was, you know, of course he really liked her a lot. He wanted her, and then, you know, pretty soon he, you know, she, they had their little rendezvous, you know, and she gets pregnant. And so this is what changed everything and really started turning David toward Hitler. Adolf Hitler was a murdering thief who deceived and killed people, his own generals, anybody who spoke against him and he found out about it, he would have them killed. That's what he did, because he thought that was the way to take dominion, take authority, to rule. And so you don't have people, you know, trying to stop what you're doing. You have them killed. You know, that's what, so that's what he did. Well, what was David doing? Look at, so David gets her pregnant, and so he's a very smart guy. He starts coming up with a plan. I thought, well, maybe he could have killed her. Why didn't he just kill her? You know, an accident, something, anything. Well, he didn't want to kill her because he loved her. That's why he wanted to kill her. He could have just gotten rid of the problem by getting rid of her. You know, but I don't know if that probably didn't enter into his mind, because he's really liking this her a lot. But the problem is that he just committed adultery for the first time in his life and had plenty of wives. I think he had at least 8 wives, maybe more. And, you know, he didn't need another wife. He didn't need somebody else to have sex with. Yeah, it could anytime, 8 women, you got, you know, whatever, you know, you're the king, you know, and it's just like, you know, you fulfill your needs. You know, all that. So, but no, he falls in love with this girl, gets her pregnant. And then he didn't want to kill her, right? He didn't want to kill her, so he starts working a little plan, and he calls up his generals. He said, get Uriah back here right away. And in David's mind, David's going like, I need to get him to come home and go make love with his wife, you know, and then when she's pregnant, then it'll just be, you know, look like, you know, their baby. Because they had no way of, in those days, they're checking out. Even if the baby's probably going to be redheaded like David, who knows what's with him? Oh, it looks like the king, but no, Uriah came home. We had sex. That was it. But what happened is that Uriah, Bathsheba's husband, was such a loyal person that, you know, he's like, you know, oh, king, you know, I don't want to go home and have the pleasures of my wife with my brothers out there fighting in a war. So he slept like in front of the palace, slept outside, you know. And so David couldn't get him. He was kind of wheel and deal the thing to try to fix it. And he started out with just this: I can get him to do that, deception and lies. You know, he committed adultery, and now he's trying to cover it up. And all that little stuff, which is not so little, began to build into heading David toward being an Adolf Hitler. Part of the process. What stopped it? That's where we're going. We're going to go there. So Uriah decides, you know, David got him drunk, got him in there. There's all these little strategies. He said, come on, man, come on in. Let's eat. Let's have dinner again. He, you know, gave him wine. He got loaded and thinking that'll do it. And he tried to talk him into going to spend time with his wife to have, you know, make love with her. And so he could hide his adulterous pregnancy going on here. And because back then they didn't do abortions, as far as I know. And so, you know, so David had to come up with another plan. So now we're going to like phase 3 of on his way to being a Hitler. And what was that? This is where I want you to read this. It's 2 Samuel 11:14. And, so the next morning, the Bible says, 2 Samuel 11:14. I'm going to read some scripture here. I'm not reading all of it. You can go back and read it yourself. The whole story is amazing. Poor David was on his way to becoming a Hitler. It's amazing when you think about it. So Uriah wouldn't yield. He wouldn't go. He said, no, I won't go. He said, you know, I want to be with my brothers. I want to fight the war. Because he was loyal and faithful, not only to God, but to David, the king. He loved King David. He reverenced David. He thought David was an amazing man. He was a faithful, loyal, like a child, faithful to his father, or whatever, you know. And so the next morning, 2 Samuel 11:14. The next morning, David wrote a letter to Joab, one of his leaders, general, and sent it with Uriah. So Uriah who is about to be set up by his king, was carrying a letter that he was so loyal that David trusted that he wouldn't open it and read it and find out that he was fixing to be sent to the front line on purpose. And watch this. This gets really very Hitlerish. I want you to watch this. David's killing his own people right here. You're going to see this thing. And he sent him with a letter to give to his general. Verse 15, in the letter, David wrote, Put Uriah at the front of the fierce fighting, then withdraw from him so that he is struck down and dies. He's actually writing this in documentation where it can be used against him. He's writing this because here's what happened. As you know, once Uriah was put into the fierce battle, and then once they got him in there, then his men withdrew from him. In other words, they deliberately, willfully set it up to where he just wasn't in the fierce fighting, most fierce fighting they were in. But he had the king said, withdraw from him so that the men would draw from him so he'd be struck down and die. So the general knew this, and some of the other people knew what was going on. They knew Uriah. They all knew Uriah. Uriah was a very good, faithful guy. And they're going like, Uriah must have done something really bad because we know what's going on here. He's asking us. He didn't just say put him in up front because he's a great fighter. That would have been, you know, pretty strategic and pretty good at hiding it. But no, he tells him, when you get him in that fierce fighting area, then have the men withdraw from him so that he is struck down and is dead. That's what David wrote in that letter. This is what the Bible says. Verse 16. So when Joab was besieging the city, he put Uriah in the place where he knew. Now watch this. Where Joab, the general, knew the best enemy soldiers where the best enemy soldiers were. Verse 16. Then the men of the city came out and attacked Joab and some of the men from David's soldiers, and they fell in battle. Uriah the Hittite also died. The general that was doing what King David asked him to do had to be thinking, you know, what did Uriah do that was so horrible? We know him and his wife. His wife is Bathsheba, and, you know, pretty good people, you know, really loyal, faithful, and, you know, and so the general and, you know, Joab and all of them had to be going like, he must have done something really bad because he's actually, the king is actually putting a hit job on Joab, and it's a fact. It's easy. You don't just, you know, say, oh, he withdraw the men just because to see what a great fighter he is. They were killing him. They were having him killed, and Joab was part of it. And so you know that to a certain degree, you know, people had to be finding out about that. And then here, the king, you know, months later, they're finding out that, oh, there's a new wedding going on, and Bathsheba, oh, isn't that Uriah's? I wonder if David just kind of took her on just to kind of be nice because he died in battle. Or if something else went on, we don't know. There was a big question about it because he had him killed. And then he took her, then the king, King David, took her, his wife in, probably made it look like, you know, I'm just doing Uriah a favor, and kind of find out she's pregnant, and then the baby dies. And so, because God, let the baby die. And then, you know, David fasted and prayed and, you know, did all that, and then, and it was over with it, you know. So this is all getting around everywhere. And so, you know, as we read later on, as we read the scripture, let me go there here just for a second. I'm part of this. I want to take you here tonight because this is stuff we're going to start seeing in the end times. And you need to be equipped to understand from one of our own favorite Bible people, King David, who had a heart after God, some of the stuff that he did, similar to what Hitler did. Hitler did a lot of the same things. He'd have people killed and, you know, make it look really good, and they didn't agree with him, or they didn't go along with his plan. What was Uriah doing? Uriah wasn't going along with the king's plan. He said, go home and be with your wife. And he wouldn't do it. He just resisted David. He told David, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to be, you know, I'm my brothers are suffering. I'm going to go back to battle and fight and help win this battle. And David's like going, man, this guy's like a pain in the neck, man. What's wrong with him? you know, I'm giving him an opportunity. And so the whole thing was began to be wrapped up in deception and lies. Deception and lies. And then, as we know, here comes, well, one of those people, what do you call them? The prophet. Oh, yeah. Hang on a second. Let me go here. All right, let's go here. All right, 2 Samuel 12, verse 10 through 24. The prophet Nathan confronted David about his adultery with Bathsheba and his arranging Uriah's death on the battlefield. Then Nathan begins to explain, I'm reading what's mentioned here, the consequences of David's actions would affect David and his family and the entire kingdom. All right, so what happens here is that, you know, David, the prophet Nathan, to David and told him, you know, you've really messed up. And so so what happened is, I don't go through all the details on this stuff, you guys know most of the story, but the prophet walks in, and here's where David could have turned into a hitter. He was on his way, having one of his own guys murdered, who was a faithful old person who wouldn't do what he tried to manipulate him to do. He stood firm on his principles. I want to be with the people. I'm going to be with my, you know, I'm not going to go home and have the pleasure of my wife. I'm going to, you know, sleep outside and that kind of. So David's plan didn't work, so he took it to the next level, had him taken out, and his generals went along with it because they didn't really know why exactly, except later, you know, they kind of got, well, that's, you know, he had the baby, lost the baby, there's something wrong with that. One of the kings of Israel lost a baby. That's kind of unusual, and they weren't sure what was going on exactly. And then, what, you know, what you going to do when they come for you, bad boy? What you going to do when they come for you, bad boy? And so the prophet Nathan told David that, you know, you have, well, he gives him a parable, as you got, or he tells him about a situation. He said, there's a man over here that had 1,000 sheep, and he had a traveler come, and he wanted to, you know, barbecue a sheep for him, And so he had about 1,000 sheep. So instead of taking one of his 1,000 sheep, he goes down to the poor neighbor, King David, and he takes his one and only sheep, which he loved dearly, and just was in all the family loved the sheep, and he goes down and he has that cue that sheep for the little party he's having for these people, and David is just enraged. He's like, you know, he said, I would have that man killed right away. And then the prophet lowers the boom, which was going to either take David to be on his way to being a Adolf Hitler or to be a man of God after God's own heart. But what does David do? He could have had him killed. He could have had Nathan killed. He could have had, we've talked about this before. David could have just like done away with him and whatever. But here's the turning point, y'all, with people who try to hide their sins and try to cover it up by this and that, and all kinds of problems come, and they never stand right. They never get it right. They just keep trying to hide it. It's like the Catholic Church, you know, they didn't want to open up this can of worms and reveal that their priests were having sex with the boys and girls and nuns and having babies and getting pregnant. Instead of doing what happened here, they hit it. Well, the same thing happens with a lot of people. We talked about this last night. You know, Joyce Meyer's mom, you know, saw, walked in when her husband, who was Joyce Meyer's father, yeah, very own father, saw him having sex, walks out, comes back 2 hours later, never said a thing to anybody. I don't know what Joyce was doing. I don't know why she didn't ask her mom. I don't know what, you know, I mean, it's, the sexual thing is really shameful and disgusting and horrible. And what it does to people is mind-boggling. And so, you know, I've wondered a lot of things about Joyce. Why didn't Joyce, you know, tell, because he also molested the neighbor's girl. And so what did they do? They kept it hidden. Her mother, her very own mother, who actually saw this, as Joyce saying this, you know, kept it hidden, thinking, you know, if I try to handle this, deal with this, I'm gonna really be without a husband. I'm not gonna have my life. She said, Joyce Meyer said her mother was full of fear, but she explained to her many years later and apologized to her for just letting it go on and never confronting it after years and years and years. And then her father, we just found out a few months ago that her father had about 81 years old, 82, 83, whatever he was, getting old, getting ready to die, requested her to come in, and he started saying, you know, it was really wrong what I did. And this was went on, you know, this went on when she was a young girl to the time she was a teenager, and then times after that. And so, friend, because it was kept hidden, this whole thing, you know, just, this is what David could have done. David could have covered it up even more. He already started covering it up, and you could see where it was going. And then God sends the prophet. This is what we're going to find out in the last days. I'm going to tell you, get ready for this. I know some of you don't understand it. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. I don't know. But God's going to start sending prophets to deal with things that have been hidden and covered up, not to shame or bring people down, but to hopefully uncover it so that they will go, you know, let's get this thing right with God, like David did. That's why David didn't turn into a Hitler, y'all. He could have killed the prophet easy and gotten by with that, too. Like, you know, the prophet, he could have said the prophet has been, just like Jezebel, lied about, you know, the guy who, you know, her husband wanted his vineyard, and you know, so she the way she got him taken care of was she told people that he'd been working false gods and all this stuff. David could have done the same thing. He could have been just like Jezebel, and he could have said, you know, we found out that the prophet. Why did he die? Why did he get killed? And well, you know, David could have lied and said, well, he's been like Jezebel, serving false gods and doing some Baal worship stuff, and we thought we better get rid of him while we can. Man, I didn't know that. Yeah, it's pretty secret, private thing. He could have lied, he could have done anything, but what kept him from going into deep sin? Like the Catholic Church, we all know that the leadership of the Catholic Church is going to eventually be going hand in hand with the Antichrist. They're going to join hand in hand with the Antichrist because they're going to be so deceived. Why are they deceived? Because they chose to hide sin and keep it hidden, instead of exposing it, getting cleansed and washed, and being just like David, a murdering, adulterous, lying, thieving, stealing king of Israel that said, I'm not going to hide this anymore. I could get rid of that prophet easy. If people love me, they think they're going to believe anything I tell them. That's what Hitler started doing, y'all. That's what Hitler started doing. Yeah. You know why we're talking about this? One of the reasons is because get ready for people that are in political positions and other positions, including us ourselves in our little positions with our families, our little positions with our children, which many of them are being molested, and many of them are being beaten and robbed, robbed of their you know, their purity, and all kinds of things are going on. And yet we choose as a nation, even the judges, in our nation, are covering up for this stuff. Cover for the Catholic Church, cover up for a lot of political people, covering a big, big, big cover up. And friend, let me tell you something. We will be able to recognize it. We understand David's situation and Hitler's situation, that what turned kept David from turning into a Hitler, an Adolf Hitler, a murdering, lying, thieving, adult, or whatever he was, child molester, that some people say now, all kinds of things, and you know what he did? He killed millions of Jews. Had it all justified because he's so deceived. So what's the Catholic Church going to do? We know the Catholic Church is full of deception and hiding things as far as the leadership goes, because they're going to be, the Bible said, the Word of God, I really believe the Word of God is talking about how the Catholic Church is going to be, you know, the beast. It's going to be they can join hands with the Antichrist and approve him. Why can't they see that? Because they're blinded, because they have all that hidden sin that they didn't get right like David did and have a heart after God where he could get his eyes back opened up and be cleansed and washed and start all over again. And he did that, and that's what saved him from becoming an Adolf Hitler. He started killing Jews. Yeah, he could have killed another Jew, a Nathan, the prophet, after he killed Uriah. He could have kept on going. What'd he do? Just, friend, let me tell you something. Your hidden sins that you keep on sinning and doing, maybe you're in bondage, maybe you have something. We're not condemning you. There's no condemnation in this at all. It's the fact that if you let that blindness keep, that hidden sin keep going on in your life, it is going to blind you, and you yourself will find yourself being part of something that is going to be totally evil and totally not God, because you can't see it because you're not walking in the light. Wow, this is amazing. It's amazing. Psalms 119, when we hide our sins, I want to talk about this for just for a second, then we're going to move on. When we hide our sins, the purpose from God for us is hidden from us. This is what God showed me today. When we hide our sins, instead of bringing them out into the open like David was doing, like Adolf Hitler did, killing people, we start justifying it by, you know, the greater purpose of the kingdom will be worked out, the greater purpose of the Catholic Church will be served, and hiding all these molestations and pregnancies of nuns and all the stuff going on that's been hidden and secretive, turned into a major cult, if you will, as far as, you know, the leadership, and has been, you know, devastating. And they're going to eventually follow the Antichrist. Why? Because you know what? When you hide your sins, the purpose from God for us, when we hide our sins, is hidden. Because we hide sins, his purposes are hidden from us. Well, we can't see them to step into them. The word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light to our path. And if we're not walking in the word and living in repentance and keeping our life, I don't care. It could be 99% right. You got one thing. I think David had 99% things right. 99. And he did that one thing. And that one thing started a little bit of leaven. Leaven the whole lump, y'all. A little bit of leaven in my life, in your life, in King David's life, in Hitler's life, whoever's life it is. A little bit of leaven. It just keeps on and keeps on until you get rid of it, until you expose it. Psalms 119:105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet. Your word, when we live by the word, when we do what the word says, like David did, and it is a light unto my path. Hallelujah. I have sworn and confirmed that I will keep your righteous judgment, and I will, I am severely subject afflicted, O Lord, revive me through your word. Many of you tonight, many of those listening to the show, and you know people that are severely afflicted one way or the other. Proverbs 6:23 says, for this commandment is a lamp, for the word of God is a lamp, the teaching is a light, and the reproofs of discipline are the way to life, to keep you from evil women, from smooth tongues of the adulteress. Do not lust in your heart for her beauty, or let her captivate you with her eyes. Amen. It goes on then. We could go on and on with all this stuff. Let me tell you something, friend. You know, this message tonight is for the future. It's for now. It's for being able to identify, you know, like my spiritual mom did, you know, saw Hitler come in and start doing anything little by little. And pretty soon he put the people to sleep with his deception. And then pretty soon, you know, they find themselves agreeing with him on murdering Jews. And a lot of his soldiers and his generals, you know, not all of them, of course, but they agree with it. They, you know, they got hungry for power, and they thought, we start believing what he said, we get rid of these Jews, and whoever else is messing with it, we'll kill them all. Then we'll have a kingdom. And brother, were they ever deceived and evil? They became totally evil before they realized what they were doing. This can happen to you, can happen to me, my spiritual mom told me, Randy, anybody can become a Hitler. Anybody. It all starts out with little things, When you get correction, well, I just read you that scripture because I think it's kind of cool. It says reproof, the reproof of the Lord, where I see that at. and the reproofs of discipline are the way of life. When you get reproved, thank God for it. Don't complain and go, well, I can't believe I got rebuked and rebuffed and got a negative word. You know, friend, if God's adjusting you and trying to help you, and you're going to sit there and find fault with it, like you're perfect, like you're doing everything right all the time, and like, you know, you get 99%, quote, positive words, you get one little thing that's a little discipline, you know, and you start feeling like, you know, oh, God, the whole world's coming down on me, the devil's coming, you know, how dare, you know, you thought. Just think about how that little bitty leaven in our life, in my life, in your life, can be rebuked. Nobody does. The Bible, the Word of God, said we must live by the Word. It's a lamp to our feet, a light into our path. And learn to live in that Word. But I'm telling you, it's going to change your life. We've got to keep our nation, we've got to keep ourselves, the sheep, from falling into these deceptions and these lies. Because a little bit of deception, you know, when I hear some of these pre-tribulation rapture people, like John Hagee's the biggest one that I know of, who's really just blunt, bold about it. He just said, When all hell starts breaking loose, you don't have to worry about a thing, y'all. We're going to be out of here. Going like, you know, it's like those people are taught to not be prepared for anything beyond their normal everyday struggles and battles. That's what he said. When all hell breaks loose, we're going to be out of here. You know, and it's really sad how that those little things that seemed so little years ago now, the people of God are going to find those deceptions and those lies are going to ruin their life, or at least make their life really, really, really rough and really sad. They're not going to be ready. Right, yeah. So, all right, that's it for tonight. Thank you. I got a lot more I want to say about all this, but we're going to try to pray for everyone tonight. Almost 10 o'clock. Give me just a moment. I'll be right back. And get that hand up. Make sure you have your hand up on the line tonight. And let's believe God to lift you up, build you up, and believe God with you for whatever you need. All right, be right back. All right, let's take callers tonight. Thanks for being with us. And we're here to pray and prophesy and believe God with you for something you need to help you along the way. All right, thanks for being here tonight. My first caller tonight, 863-605. Next is 202-722. Then 704 after that, 954 after that, 915 after that, 325-280 after that, 214 after that, 402 after that, 828 after that, 863-268 after that, 915-929 after that, 803-991-303-386, 612-991-405 after that, 847 after that, 720-819 after that, 754-255 after that, 903-808 after that, and then we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 4, 5 people don't have their hand up. 903-755-574, you don't have your hand up. 111, you don't have your hand up. 863-808, you don't have your hand up. 402-533, you don't have your hand up. 912-398, and you don't have your hand up. All right, just letting you know. All right, thank you for being with us tonight. Let's take our callers tonight, see what's going on tonight. My first caller tonight, 863, whom I talked to and where are you from, please?
Hey, Randy, it's Charles and Nikki from Florida. And could you please pray for Destiny?
For Destiny, yes, absolutely. All right,
thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much, too. Thank you. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for our precious Destiny, God, that precious baby doll. She's not a baby, you know, but I mean, it's just when you're children, they're always your babies, really, in some ways, right? So that's so beautiful about being a mother and a father. Is that, you know, if you get the privilege of having a baby, you see them in their innocence. And when they get older and they, you know, make mistakes and fail and just become, you know, start growing up, you always remember that the innocence of their childhood, right? And that's the beauty of being a parent is you know them. They're the same person. They may be 30, 40, 50 years old or whatever, but you still remember that innocent child. And it's the beauty, I think, that God gives us to bring hope for our children that whatever struggles and battles they're going through, that we know that innocent child in them is going to yield to Jesus, right, eventually. And we know that, of course, we know that Destiny is definitely that way. But so beautiful to know that
you know, that innocent heart that cries after God. And Lord, we just thank you for that beautiful heart that Destiny has, God, that cries after you, Jesus, that you will, you know, bring her the people that she needs in her life, God, to help her, to bless her, to be, and let her be able to be healed in her heart from, you know, past destructive modes that happen in her and around her with friends, with, you know, people, with people who maybe betrayed her and felt like, at least she felt like they did, and she feels like they did. That's really all that matters. And sometimes they really do it, of course, we know. And all the things, all the pain she's gone through, God, I thank you, Lord, for healing her heart, God, so she can receive those people that you want to bring to her life. Sometimes we, you know, I know me, if my heart was messed up over certain things, you know, God would bring me good people and I'd run them off, right? Because I, you know, couldn't relate to them or whatever because my heart was not trusting. You know, so when our heart gets healed, then we're more able to receive, you know, even the people God brings us. It's a really big thing. So thank you, Lord, that you're healing her heart, you're touching her heart, God, so she can receive the right people, the good people you bring into her life, God, to touch her, to whether all the way from medical people to, you know, next door neighbors to friends and loved ones. Thank you, Lord, that you're opening her heart, God, where she can receive the blessings of life in Jesus' name and see through all the darkness we have on the earth, all the blessings that God has all around her, God, that she can choose them and choose you this day who you serve, you know. And I thank you, Lord, that she chooses you in every detail. God, you're showing how to do that. All right, and bless her, God, and touch her, God, in Jesus' name. All right, and for Charles and Nikki, thank you, Lord, for Charles. Thank you, Lord, for touching Charles, God. Thank you for giving him, for activating his faith, God, in you, Jesus, to believe you for those things that are not as though they were. And understanding how that, what that scripture means, how that works, speaking those things that are not as though they were. Because sometimes speaking those things that are not as though they were, we don't make them happen, but what we do is we start, the Word of God changes our mind when we use it correctly. Sometimes people try to use the Word of God to positive faith thinking to try to change the circumstances, when really what God's trying to do is change us so that we can receive the right circumstances, so we can walk in the right. So sometimes it's the way we see things that need to be changed. So God usually takes his word and renews our mind so that we can see how, wow, I mean, you know, I reject that and I accept this. And so you start rejecting the right things and accepting the right things, you know, and be able to walk in the blessing of God in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And speaking those things that are not as though they were, is renewing your mind so that your mind can see things. Sometimes we can't see things because, you know, like with me, when God started dealing with my brain and my spirit and my soul, my body, my mind, renewing my mind, the more I could, my mind began to be changed, the more I walked in the blessings because I could see them. Before that, I couldn't see them until I, you know, my mind was renewed. Your mind being renewed helps you see the blessings that are before you so you can choose them. Right, because sometimes we choose the wrong thing. So I thought that was the right thing. It seemed right to me. It seemed right, but you know, it ended up being wrong. What was it? Yeah, because you know, we need to have our mind renewed, and the more we get our mind renewed, that's why Jesus could choose 100% the will of God, because he had his 100% of his mind, used 100% of his brain, and had 100% of his brain working, and his mind working, and yeah, so he could choose because he could see it and choose it. Right, you what you can see, you can choose it. If you don't see it, you don't choose it because you don't see it, right? So the Lord opens up our eyes. I mean, it's a process that even Paul the Apostle said he wouldn't even fully attain to it, right? So we're growing that way. Thank you, Lord, for my brother, God. Thank you for the power of your of agreement for Nikki tonight, God. Thank you, Lord, for the power of agreement, God. Power of agreement is so important because the Bible says, well, two or more agree as touching the thing shall be done. So whatever that means to everybody, show her how to find agreement and stick with that and don't come out of agreement with the word of the Lord, with the word of God until it's done. Hallelujah. And it takes courage to do that. It takes strength to do that. It takes love for God to do that. It takes hatred for evil and sickness and sin to do that. And I thank you, Lord, that's Nikki. We thank you, Lord, for blessing her and opening her up to that, Jesus. Hallelujah. All right. 202-722. Who am I talking to you from, please?
Hey, Brother Randy, it's Daryl Paul and Nicole from D.C.
All right, you guys, good to have you guys tonight. Thank you, Lord, for my brother Daryl tonight. God, we thank you, Jesus, for saving him, saving him. Not born again saving you, but saving you. Like, I see God saving you, like he saves you trouble, saves you time, saves you this, saves you that. You know, it's like my mom and dad used to always try to tell me, Randy, if you'll do this, you'll save yourself a lot of trouble. Randy, if you'll do that, my dad would, if you'll be careful not to do those two things, you're gonna save yourself a lot of trouble. They're always trying to show me how to save myself, right? Not born again saved, but, saved has a whole different word. So I see God really showing you, how to be saved from things. Like a lot of Christians don't get saved from things. They're born again. They love Jesus on the way to heaven. They may be walking with God, but they don't use wisdom. So when they don't use wisdom, they, like the five foolish virgins, didn't get saved from, they didn't make it. It's not about going to heaven as much as it was that they missed out on their opportunity, right, because they weren't prepared. So thank you, Jesus, for that wisdom that you're giving my brother to save him from all kinds of things. Yeah, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Bless him with that, God. Open him up to that in Jesus' name. And let that being saved take on a whole new level, God. Oh, yeah, God, save me from that. I do that. Okay. Oh, yeah, I was getting ready to do this, walking this thing, and all of a sudden something happened to it, and I look back and I go, Lord God, you sure saved me from that one, yeah, it's like many times. And so I see you doing that, saying that, understanding that, and knowing that he's watching over you, that he cares about you, and he's watching over you. Amen. They keep us from making mistakes, but it keeps us from damage control, right? Yeah, even. Thank you, Jesus, for Nicole. Thank you, Jesus, for the pillars in her life, God, for the things that are pillars. God, that you're showing her the pillars of life, the pillars of victory, the pillars of your scripture, the pillars, and Jesus, I don't even know what that means exactly. The pillars. I know the pillars are important, but that's what I'm getting. It's like the pillars. So let me see the pillars in the Bible. Let me look it up here. Pillars. I'm just looking this up. Y'all know how I do it. Pillars and scriptures, what I put in there. What do pillars symbolize in the Bible? The pillar is the bridge between heaven and earth. Oh, wow, interesting. The vertical axis, which both unites and divides these two realms. I did not know that. I did not know that. It is closely connected to the symbolism of the tree. It also represents stability, and broken pillar represents death and mortality. Wow. Very interesting. I did not know that. What are the four pillars in the Bible? I'm just reading. I'm Googling this, right, y'all? It's not coming out of my... in their book entitled Four Pillars of Christianity, the existence of God, of the Bible, Jesus is the divine Son of God, Jesus resurrected from the grave, and Christian perspective on suffering and evil is pillars of faith. Yeah. What are the pillars of faith? I'm just reading this because I don't know what else to do with this, but there are seven foundations of the gospel as listed in Paul in Ephesians 4:4-6. We call them the seven pillars of the New Testament, the body, the spirit, one baptism, one hope, one Lord, one God, and one faith. All right. There you go. Interesting. I don't think I would have been able to come up with all that. Pretty amazing. Yeah, the pillars. It's like I see God really working the pillars with you. And, so really interesting. The pillars of your faith, the pillars of the gospel, the pillars of the earth, the pillars, whatever that is. I don't understand that, but I think God's really going to open you up to that and start showing you things. Maybe you're already into it. I really don't know what you're into exactly with that, if that's possible. But there you go. Study the pillars. Yeah, God's going to show you something about the pillars. I don't know. Your Revelation, girl, I don't know if it's are pillars in the book of Revelation. I don't even know. looking it up real quick. Oh, 312. Revelations 3:12. All right, here it is. I'm just looking this stuff up, Googling it. The one who is victorious, I will make a pillar. Woo! Wow! In the temple of my God. Never again will they leave it. I will write on them the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem. And let's see, yeah, the New Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from my God. And I will also write on them my new name. Very interesting. Now that was hot. I know your revelations, you teach some revelations here on PGN two or three times a week. The one who overcomes, the one who overcomes. Hey. Yeah. Yeah, the one who, that's the one I'm familiar with. The one who conquers, the English Standard Version, I will make him or a pillar in the temple of God. King James Version says, he that overcometh, I will make a pillar in the temple of God. He shall go up no more. He shall go no more out. I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is the New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven. From man. Oh, interesting. I don't know. There you go. I'm just the messenger boy. I don't know. I don't know everything. But very interesting. That's very interesting. I love that. So God, show her about that. Open that up to her. Father, you probably already are, son, but do it more. And let me go back one more time and see if there's more on that. I don't want to go too quickly here. Okay. Oh, here, Revelation chapter 10. Come with the pillars of fire. Chapter 6, the fourth pillar of, I don't even know what that is. Chapter 6. No, you might look that up. I know you probably already know about this. But there's the four pillars of Jacob. Oh, no, there you go. All right. Hallelujah. Whatever. Yeah. All right, 704-614. Can we talk to your friend, please?
Hey, Randy. This is Deborah and John from South Carolina.
Hey, y'all. All right, Deborah and John, good to have you tonight. All right, thank you, Lord, for Deborah and John, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for the sufferings that they've been through, for the things that they've suffered. Sometimes we suffer things because we don't know everything and we're, you know, learning and growing, just pure ignorance. Sometimes we suffer things because we make mistakes, and we all do that. Sometimes we suffer because we're suffering for Christ. And I think God's really going to show you suffering and show you things about suffering to keep people from suffering unnecessarily, because we're going to suffer enough, like it is. And there's a lot of things going on. Like we talk about the Great Tribulation and all that, and a lot of people don't have a hard time with this, but the suffering we're going to go through with the Great Tribulation. And so many people suffer different things. Like some people are going to suffer, you know, the plagues, like he says in Revelation 18, come out from among her, talk about the system, lest you partake of her plagues. So there's going to be suffering with that. So I don't know. There's different suffering. You know, sometimes people suffered, martyrs suffered, of course. Other people suffered maybe hunger. So I don't know. God's going to open up the sufferings to you and show you the sufferings of Christ. Because the Bible says, the Word talks about how that when we suffer with him, we are glorified with him, right? So the suffering realm, I think it's so misunderstood. And thank you, Jesus, for Deborah, God, that you've shown her that, open her up to that so she can not only know herself, but to teach it to other people, God, to know that how we can walk in that realm where we suffer. We only suffer the things that, you know, like Joseph went through suffering, you know, Job went through suffering. But, you know, all that suffering was God used it for his glory. So thank you, Jesus, for opening her up to that. And in Jesus' name, and blessing John, God, thank you, Lord, for John, for giving John joy and freedom and liberty. I see a spirit of liberty coming on you, John, to bring some joy to you, like helping you relax. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty busy, and I'm pretty much going at it one way or the other. And sometimes, you know, it's just to sit back, to be able to relax in the middle of all of it. And how I do that is I just know that, you know, I can only do so much, and then everything else, God has to finish it up. So when I've done all I know to do, then I relax and learn to relax and then let God do his part. you know, so that I'm not overwhelmed by, you know, this isn't happening, this isn't happening, because we all have stuff that we desire to be done. And so I see God showing you how to, you know, relax and enjoy and be enter into a joy and a freedom of just saying, you know, you, like me sometimes, I catch myself going, like, you know, what are you concerned about that for right now? It's not even important right now. What are you doing? Relax. I tell myself that. And so my brain's getting much clearer and better. It's amazing. Never had a bad brain, but never had a really good one. So my brain's getting really good, John, believe it or not. And so I'm, you know, organizing like easily. It's amazing, all the stuff going on with my brain. But you know, what's happening is that my brain is actually telling me what to do. And I know that sounds crazy, but who made our brain? But God, right? God made our brain. And so I'm finding that when I learn to relax and I catch myself, you know, now I catch myself with my new brain thing going on, you know, what are you worried about that for? What are you concerned about that? Just relax. That's my brain talking to me, telling me what to do. I'm going like, yeah, that's a great idea. I hadn't thought about that. And so I just start relaxing and enjoying the moment. But usually, you know, I guess we concern ourselves about things we don't realize we're doing it, right? I think it happens to all of us. And so thank God for helping John to be able to relax, rest, enjoy, and enter into that joy of the Lord, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. And bring that peace that passeth understanding, God, that goes way beyond being able to understand everything, trying to figure out everything. And just enter into that peace. Amen. In Jesus' name, let it be done. Yeah, any overwhelming things messing with them, God, I thank you, God, that you're going to overwhelm them with your joy, with confidence in you, Jesus, that your will is being done in their life, God. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Thank you, Deborah and John. We bless you guys. All right, thank you. All right, 954-580, Hibbert Hawk Group, please.
Hello, this is Carolyn from Jamaica.
Hi, Carolyn. All right, good to have you. Carolyn from Jamaica, good to have you tonight. All right, thank you, Jesus, for Carolyn. Thank you, Jesus, for her life, God. I think for the victory. I think for the prophetic anointing in her life, God, that, you know, you have a, you know, anybody who calls in and gets prayer and gets prophetic information, you know, and especially in our arena here, is that, you know, you every time you hear a word, whether you agree, disagree, think it's great, don't know, whatever, going on, You receive that anointing. That anointing, the prophetic, goes inside you, and it starts doing a work in you. You know, it starts blessing you. It starts opening you up. It starts showing you new things. It starts helping you walk through things that maybe you couldn't walk through before, because now you can kind of see a little hope at the end of the tunnel on some things. And so I thank you, Jesus, for that prophetic anointing in Carolina, God, that you allow that prophetic anointing. I'm not calling you a prophet. I'm talking about a prophetic anointing to be able to see things, to be able to know things, where she can know what's coming down the road. She can know that God has blessings down the road for her because, you know, she can see it. She can sense it. She can see it or sense it or know it. And I thank you, Lord, for that in Jesus' name, and that she will, you know, learn how to activate that, learn how to walk in that, learn how to live in that, because you definitely have that prophetic anointing from just, if anything, just hearing it and listening to it, you know, here in PGN and maybe other places you go to. So I speak to that in her life, God, and I call that forth and ask you to bless her financials, God. But let her see the financial blessings you have for her, Father. She can see them, walk in them, and activate them by just simply walking in them. Sometimes we have to be able to see to walk into something. The word of the Lord, the Bible, the word is a lamp. The word of God is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. Just simply meaning that our eyes get open to, oh, that's a blessing right there. But it depends on what we choose, right? We've got 10 things before us, and we can choose, you know, 9 of the wrong things and, you know, miss the one right thing, right? But when God's guiding us, when we're, you know, just being led by the Holy Spirit, we pick that one thing, right? Because our eyes are open to see that that's the one, the door I want, you know, and then you open the door and there it is. Yeah, so, amen, that insight, that glory in Jesus' name. And my sister, all right. All right, 325-280, can we talk to her friend, please?
Chris from Texas.
Hey, Chris. All right. Good to see you, man. Good to hear from you. Let me go right here just for a second. Get I'm gonna shake it here. Okay, let's see here. Yeah, because I got this word. I don't know what it means. And if I heard it right. Like pentatonic, something like that, pentatonic. I don't even know what that means. So I'm trying to look it up here. Pentatonic. Yeah, pentatonic, P-E-N-T-A-T-O-N-I-C, pentatonic, that's the word, I just got the word, I know what it means, right? So it says it's related to music. What is the simple meaning of pentatonic? The music scale with five notes per octave, in contrast to the heptatonic scale, which has seven notes per octave, which is the major scale, minor. I mean, we're talking about music here, I don't know what this. I did not know what this was. The meaning of pentatonic, consisting of five tones, specifically being or relating to a scale in which the tones are arranged like a major scale, with the fourth and seventh tones omitted. I don't know. I don't know what that is, but I just what I heard. And so I'm trying to God, what are you trying to say there? What does that mean? Let me look up pentatonic. I'm just pentatonic. P-E-N-T-A-T-O-N-I-C. The word don't think I've ever heard of it before, consisting of five tones, being or relating to a scale in which tones are arranged with a major scale, fourth and seventh omitted. Anybody knows anything about that, let me know. I really don't know anything about that at all. But so it's having to do with music, and I know that one thing that's been happening to me, yeah, so this has something to do with music. You know, here, I can't even think of anything with this, bro, except the fact, the only thing I can think of is what I've been going through myself. And I have been discovering that music, when I found out that guy that had that invention that was helping balance out people's brains that I saw on Daystar Network, and he did it through music. He took some music and he did something with it, and he do a lot of scientific, you know, work and stuff on it and experimenting. He came up with a way to help people who've been through trauma, who had horrible situations in their life, or just, you know, bad, rough things. And like Joni's new husband, he had some, I think he had been raped and, you know, different things, had been abused, that kind of thing. And his brain was just like, you know, off kilter because of it. Right. This is him admitting it. And he goes to this guy, and this guy had this thing, and they listen to this music, and this music, the way this guy arranged it, literally caused their brain, after four or five times of just doing it, four or five times, totally changed his life. I mean, he said that, this is according to them, said that when he did this thing and listened to this music, the way this guy had this arranged, that, you know, his brain, he'd been trying to write a book for years, this Joni said, who had went to this guy for help. And when he did that thing, listened to the music thing for four or five sessions, he said, somehow my brain got just corrected or something. And I've been trying to write a book for like, you know, I don't know, a while. And all of a sudden, he said, when that happened, I started writing that book. And, I mean, it came together just boom, boom, boom like that. It was awesome. He said it just changed his life. So I don't know if there's something going on with music or something going on with, you know, because he talks about tones. Talks about notes and things, and he dove into that. And we hear a lot of things in the Bible about the sounds of heaven and all the different sounds. So somehow or another, God's going to connect you to that. You know, maybe you'll be a part of it. Maybe you'll invent something. Maybe it'll come to you. Maybe you'll invest in it. I don't know what that is, but it's awesome. And I see God, you know, really using that to affect your life and to bless you and to connect you to some things with God that you've never seen or known before, and broadening your ability to, you know, develop things and to work things and to be able to see the broader picture. And because this is what happened to me since I heard him talk about that on the show a few weeks ago, and I already had my brain thing going that I work on. I started listening to harp music. I don't know what you're going to think about this. I started listening to harp music and from, you know, really cool harp players. And somehow the sounds of a harp, like nothing I've ever heard in my life. I've never really listened to harp music. And I started, when I got that word, I started listening to it in the tones and the way the music is played and the strumming of the chords and all the, you know, the strings and all the things. I mean, I literally walk out away from that high, you know, like something's happening to me, man. And this is music, like when David, you know, played for Saul, and somehow that and it was a harp. And so I kind of connected that, going, there's something about this music, the tones, the pentatonic. I mean, I don't know. I would have never thought pentatonic meant anything. Like I would have a clue what pentatonic means. But there you go, man. So somehow or another, God's going to open up something for you there. Pentatonic, P-E-N-T-O-T-A-T-O-N-I-C. Who knows, man, something to do with what that guy did. I don't know what it is, but that's amazing. So sounds, I think, because, you know, I've talked about this before. I don't know if you remember talking about this before. I've talked about this. God gave me a revelation years ago, how that when God created the heavens and the earth, of course, Lucifer, before he fell, was backing God up with music. You know, God would say, let there be light. You know, let there be the earth. And Lucifer would play background music. Let there be light. Or whatever, you know. I mean, I don't know how he did it exactly, but he had beautiful sound. And so when the earth was created with God's musician, who fell later because of his pride, everything in the earth was made with music. Even the dirt that Adam and Eve were made of, dude, was made with music intertwined in it. So that's why we are drawn to music. That's why, you know, and I'm really connecting this information, which I've had for years, but kind of all putting together and putting the puzzle together with it. And God's really showing me, he said, this music thing is a lot bigger than you think, Randy. You're really missing it on that. And I'm going to show you some stuff, and I'm going to change your life. Because you're going to understand, like, why I had a musician and a person who had an amazing voice with all kinds of sounds, like the Bible talks about with Lucifer, that I made him like that as I created heaven and earth, that everything in it has music in it. So if the dirt had music mixed in it when it was being created, then we're made of dirt, right? So that tells you that our brain cells have this thing about music. Yeah, so I don't know, man. God's going to show you some stuff about that, biblical stuff, of course, and it's going to be amazing. Somehow you're going to connect to that. Somehow another way God's going to connect you to that. And, anyway, okay, there you go. All right, give me just a second. I'll be right back. All right, Sacred Crawlers, thank you. I am back. Thank you very much for being patient. Thank you. All right, 214-646, I'm going to talk to you again, please.
Hey, Randy, it's Terrence and Tanisha from Texas.
Hey, we had Tanisha on the show the other night, which is amazing. It's so cool. So that was really awesome. I don't understand all that, but we came in some real revelation. If you guys haven't listened to that show, you might want to listen to this on that. What was that on? It was amazing, some of the things that we got on that, and the things that God has showed you too, and just kind of confirm a little bit of it, some things we came across. But you know, this is a spontaneous thing I see God activating with you, and more and more, I know you're walking spontaneous for sure, But it's like I see this spontaneous realm, you know, like areas where you're not used to being spontaneous in, where God shows you how to, you know, be spontaneous at the fullest. You know, nothing wrong with being prepared and prepped and ready, and I know you do all that, but you also have a spontaneous thing already. But it's like God really opening that up to where you find yourself, you know, being spontaneous in conversation more and more with people, just talking with people about whatever, you know, and like whether you're on a show or whether you're talking to somebody on the phone or you're out shopping, whatever the thing is. And that spontaneous thing of just God saying, you know, I just want you to tell her this and say this and say that. And like I say, I already know you do that, but I see this coming at a much higher level. And it becoming so easy. It's kind of like just conversation. Sometimes you don't even really hear God telling you to do it. You just kind of like start doing it because it's so strong. It's just kind of like overtaking you. And I just got to ask you a question. What about that, man? What about that? You find out, oh, my God, how did you know that? What's going on? So thank you, Jesus, for that whole realm in Jesus' name. And even the video realm and the whole video realm, that there's something about that, too, for you guys. For you, and thank you, Jesus, for that. Amen. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Terrence. God, I think of another music thing with you, and I'm going to give that word to Chris a moment ago. Of course, you know, as I took my little break there, I thought about you, of course, Terrence. I know you're in the music thing. And I think that God is wants to make music holy again and worship holy again. And, I mean, like holy, holy, holy. That's it. Came out pretty good. I was just going to say, you know, like really holy, but I said holy, holy, holy. And like maybe the reason they say holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. It's because it's more than just holy. Maybe it's Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Maybe it's spirit, soul, and body. Maybe it's heaven, earth. I don't know. I don't know what the holy, holy, holy thing. But I see God really, you know, wanting to, you know, sanctify and set apart music. Because when music was lost and when Lucifer fell, you know, God lost something amazing because he used God. I mean, God used him to work with. He worked with Lucifer. He worked with what he had made, you know, in his voice and his abilities to create, you know, heaven and earth. And so it's like God's, ever since then, God's looking for, you know, like that's why he loved David. He's looking for those who have the heart of David, who have the song of David. You know, and this whole harp thing that I've been involved in just in the last 2 months, I mean, literally, there's something about the harp, and I don't know what it is, but it's just, you know, because it sounds kind of like a piano, but they're not, a piano's hitting keys, and they're just hitting the strings, and then there's a whole different flow to it or something. I don't know that much about music, but it's like, I'm just kind of like going, God, what is it about that just makes me high? I mean, I'm kind of understanding a little bit, like, what Saul must have felt like when David came in there with a harp and just started playing and singing songs. You know, that Saul got high off of it, I guess you'd say. I mean, when the devil leaves you, you feel like you're high, right? So it's like when the devil left him, he just felt like, man, I feel high. That's what I've been experiencing that pretty much consistently, along with some other things I'm doing too. But the music thing added a whole other happening with me. And so I see God really, you know, because you're in that realm and you sing and you worship and you're a worshiper. So I see God really trying to, you know, activate that in a holy, holy, holy thing where we think we have holy worship now, and we do. We've got good worship. But God says, not what you're about to see, because I'm creating and opening up doors, because worship is going to become so holy. That when those who worship in that holy, holy, holy mode are going to create that holy atmosphere, it's going to be like you see these movies where they all of a sudden, you know, out of nowhere appears this fire hole, and you step through the fire hole into another realm, you know, like to another realm. It's like that's what I see with the music. It's like God creates this opening for people to step into it. And so I thank you, Jesus, for that with my brother in Jesus' name. Open it up. Teach him, show him, what all you want to know about that. All right, 402-650. I'm going to talk to you real quick, please. All right, it's John and Melissa, I think. Yeah, John and Melissa. Thank you, Lord, for John and Melissa. Thank you, Lord, for just blessing them, God. God, just give them a break. Give them some rest. Give them some peace, some extra peace, some added peace, some whatever peace they have. Add to it, multiply it, increase it. God, show them how to take the peace that they have. They only may have, you know, certain peace at a certain time, and then have less peace, and then more peace, and then less peace, and it kind of goes up and down all around. Show them how to maintain that peace, God, how to walk in that peace, how to multiply peace, how to increase peace in their life, so that the peace they have can be increased, so the peace they have can be multiplied. So they walk in, you know, because there's different levels of peace. There's a peace that passes understanding, and there's just a peace that, you know, there's other different levels of peace. And I don't know what they are exactly, but I'm prophesying, right? So I don't really know what I'm talking about. But the different levels of peace. And so I see God really showing you how to go from 30, 60, 100 fold peace. Because Jesus walked in the realm of peace. He was the Prince of Peace. That's why he could calm a storm, because he would speak peace, because he was a Prince of Peace. And so I thank you, Lord, for that whole realm of peace, God, for them, that you can teach them how to keep peace with each other, with other people at higher level, you know, I mean, a really high level. Where we have, you know, we can be peacemakers. The Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they are the children of God. Amen. The whole realm of being a peacemaker. Yeah, and walking in that peace. Amen. All right, 828-442. We'll talk to you first, please.
This is Jennifer from North Carolina.
This who's?
Jennifer.
Yeah.
From North Carolina.
Jennifer. Oh, hi, Jennifer. Yes, hi, Jennifer. Thank you.
Hi.
At our community. All right, thank you. God bless. All right, thank you, Lord, for Jennifer tonight. Thank you, Jesus, for Jennifer. Thank you, Lord, for the camaraderie. Thank you for the gathering together, the joining together. You know, the Bible, I think that we don't need a whole lot of people in our life. A lot of people is great, but we don't need a whole lot of people as far as, you know, to be in agreement with. We can have a lot of friends, but we have a camaraderie with the right people, with one or two people. Jesus really had great camaraderie and unity, I guess you would say, with John. John, you know, became the revelator. It's amazing how John became the revelator. He's the only one that didn't get killed. You know, it's amazing how that works. He was the son of fire, the son of love. And, you know, Jesus told John, you know, that he would live to, you know, that he would live and not die, basically, as far as like all the other ones did. And, of course, Peter and him got jealous and wanted to know, you know, how come he's not. But, you know, John just had that thing, man. So he was very, very close to Jesus. And he had that camaraderie with him. So we have different camaraderie in agreement with different people in our life. And so it's very rare, you know, when God allows a person in our life that we may not agree on everything, but we agree on the right thing. And I thank you, Lord, for bringing those people in her life, God, maybe the ones that are already there, to be able to walk in that place of agreement in Jesus' name, where they will walk in agreement, God. Because when you have agreement, you touch and things, they get done. Two or more agree in such a matter, it shall be done. Not going to be done, not might be done, but it shall be done. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for her life, God. Thank you, Jesus, for her precious life, Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for bringing that a place of agreement, God, where she can, even if it's just come in agreement with you on things, you know, I don't really believe we need a lot of people to get the work of God done, as far as, you know, God needs one person really to just hear his voice and then say what they're hearing. And the people that are supposed to come in agreement with it will find you or hear you and go like, man, I come in agreement with them. You know, not everybody's going to come in agreement with you, but you don't need a bunch. And so when God brings them, he's going to show you how powerful that is. And God gets his work done. Amen. So through many or through few, he's really going to open you up to that in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Where we can think, well, I don't ever have enough people to agree with me on it. We need a bunch of people to agree. No, you don't. You have two or more agreeing. A lot of friends, all that's all great. They're having people to talk to, whatever. But as far as agreement, that's a very sacred thing to God and very important. So when we have it, we maintain it and keep it and watch over it. This precious gift, God's really going to open you up to that. Because he's called you to victory, called you to intercession, called you to getting things done for the kingdom. Amen. And that's about agreement. All right. Okay. I think that was. Did I call 915? Did I just do that 915 before it? That's you, right?
Papa Randy, this is Daniel in Texas.
Oh, hey, Daniel. Hey, Daniel, Carmen just told me that you don't get my text. I don't know what's up with that.
Right. I'm not sure.
Okay, I'll try.
Please add me.
Thank you. I'll try to fix that. Thank you for letting me know. I didn't know. I did not know that. I don't know how that happened, but we'll fix it. All right, brother. We thank you very much. We love you. Thank you so much. All right. Thank you. Thanks for Carmen helping me out there. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Daniel tonight. Let me look up your thing right now. See if I've got it on here somewhere. You know, I don't even think I've... Well, there it is, 915. Okay, here's your personal one. I'm going to go send you a note saying, here you are. But maybe you're not on the... maybe not on the text, the group text, because I didn't see you come up with a group text. And, oh, no, right there. I'm going to fix this right now. Do my best to. Okay. 5248. Huh. Interesting. Yeah, you're not on any group thing. That's really weird. Okay, Jesus, help me do that. I took a picture of that, so I forget. Okay, Daniel, let's go for it. Thank you. All right, thank you very much. I think you got it and you responded back. Thank you for that. All right. Thank you. I got it. All right. You never know what's going to happen on PG. Or we could fix stuff right away. Yeah. Anyway, thank you, Lord, for that. And that's the thing with you. Like this whole thing happening right now. I want you to just look at this, how this happened. And this is spontaneous moment is like somebody else sent me a text saying, you know, that you don't get my group text. You know, when people are going to show that kind of thing, I go like, I'm almost sure he's on there. Oh, couldn't find out. Looked like he weren't. Somehow they got messed up. But so what happened? We turned around right then and worked just like that. So I see God doing that with you with things. Just like all of a sudden out of the blue, it's like, you know, this and that happened. Things been messed up, broken up, whatever, not working right for whatever reason. And then all of a sudden, boom. It's fixed. Boom. It's done. Boom. It's working. Yeah, I just saw that in the spirit. Thank you, Lord, for that. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah, and all of a sudden, it's just fixed. Like, wow. Okay, let me see here. Okay. I'm actually working on this right now. Yeah, I don't see on any group on either phone. I got two phones. All right, so Daniel, that's what I see happen. It's like, you know, something's been missing, something has been showing up, something has been working. You know, something's you're being left out of something for whatever reason. It's not necessarily, you know, on purpose or you never know. It can be anything. And all of a sudden, boom, boom, boom. It's fixed. Like, you know, wow, that was easy. Like, why didn't we do that before? We don't know. It just became time. It's like God's moving you to this time, this season, where you're just going to, you know, things are going to come together, like that plus that plus that. You go like, boom, there it is. Got it. Done. Oh, that was fixed. Well, that was easy. I didn't know about that. Now we know. Now we got it. Now it's done. So thank you, Lord, that I just keep seeing the word done, D-O-N-E, written over you, like Jesus said on the cross. You know, it is finished or it is done. Thank you, Lord, that whole realm with Daniel, God, that you opened him up to walking in that realm of it is done, it is finished. Like all of a sudden it's like, you know, like things being done quickly. Like, you know, it took forever, then all of a sudden, boom, one day just like, boom, done, 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 done. So, Lord, I released that done thing, D-O-N-E. It is finished. Jesus said it is finished. He died on the cross. He gave his life. And the victory was won because he defeated Satan. Of course, 3 days later, he raised again from the dead. So I thank you, Lord, for those three-day moments in Jesus' name in his life, where all of a sudden in 3 days, something's fixed. In 3 days, something's done. In 3 days, something's completed. Hallelujah. Loosen it in his life, God. And bless him in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. He's an overcomer. in Jesus' name. Daniel is an overcomer, more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. You got God working on your side, and he's on your, you're on his side, and because you're on his side, you're by his side, and because you're by his side, just like we talked about John the Revelator, he was very close to Jesus, leaned on his breast because he needed him. And when you're needy for Jesus, blessed are those who are needy because they get blessed. Yeah, in Jesus' name. Open that up for him, God. Amen, in Jesus' name. Helen, conquering the victory of Jesus being done. Quickies, little quickies. You know, like some, all of a sudden it happened quickly. Quicklies, that's a better word. Quicklies. All right, 863-268. Who am I talking to? Are you from, please?
Jessica in New York.
All right. New York. Thank you, Lord, for Jessica in New York. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for that New York place, God, that place of new and the place of new and the place of... look this up. All right. One more second here. Why is it messing with me like this? Stop that. All right. There's something about the word New York. I don't know what the word New York means. The name New York. Let me see the name. They don't have a meaning. They may sometimes derive from the place name beginning with New York. I don't know. There's something about the name. I'm trying to get a hold of this name thing of New York, the nationality in the family name New York. Anglo-Saxon England. I'm reading this off, you know, I'm Googling this right now, as you know. What is the original name for New York? No, New Amsterdam. Dutch Amsterdam, 1626, was chartered as a city in 1653. City came under English control in 1664. It was renamed New York after King Charles II granted the land to his brother, the Duke of York. I didn't know that about New York. It's you? I didn't know that about it. I'm getting information I didn't know. So King Charles II. We know King Charles III. Isn't it King Charles III now? I'm going to go somewhere with this, I know. All right, King Charles III. All right. Yeah, I don't know. There's something about New York and the founding of New York and the purpose of New York with you. I don't know what that means exactly. I'm trying to look and see if I can find something that would catch my attention. But King Charles II, it says, gave that to his brother. Settlement was named New Amsterdam. Was renamed in 1664. It was renamed New York after King Charles II granted the land to his brother, the Duke of York. So I don't know, something with King, about the King Charles thing. I noticed that kind of grabbed my attention. King Charles II, King Charles III now. We had a queen for a long time, and now we got a king, you know, from King Charles II to, you know, eventually queen. And I don't understand all that. But anyway, so thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, Lord, for the establishment of New York, for whatever she has to do with that guy in Jesus' name, that maybe God's called you to pray over New York to, you know, for New York to have its original purpose and to be established on God's rule and God's law and God's position. To pray and intercede for New York, you know, something like that. The name New York has become, Carmen sent me this, has become synonymous with ambition, diversity, and opportunity. It is a city that never sleeps, continues to captivate people from all over the world, from its humble beginnings as New Amsterdam, there you go, and its rise as one of the most influential cities in the world. The name New York carries a legacy that reflects the spirit of innovation and progress. Yeah, so part of this, I'm feeling and thinking, sensing that it has to do with your one of the things that we'll see when we do what God says, He blesses us, right? So with God's wanting you to pray for New York, one of the things He wants you to call out to Him about is, and when you start doing that, then God's going to bless you, right? Because you're designated to do certain things for God, and when you do those certain things, you know, you get blessed for that. So there's something about you in New York and praying for New York that it has its original purpose that God had for it, and that it would be, you know, so God's like praying for the peace of Israel. You know, you do that in obedience to God, and God blesses you with peace or whatever He does with you, bless you, you know, all of it in all these different ways. So there's something about New York and doing that that God's going to establish your life to cause you to be from its humble beginning as New Amsterdam and its rise. It's one of the most influential cities in the world. The name of New York carries a legacy that reflects the spirit of innovation and progress. So for innovation and progress in your life, it's like God is saying, you know, bless New York, pray for New York, intercede over New York. It's like Sodom and Gomorrah when God had Abraham start interceding for Sodom and Gomorrah, even though God said, you know, nope, there's not even that many, but He destroyed it. But still, it's like the intercession of it. God's looking for intercessors, and He tried to use Abraham as an intercessor. So let God really use you with that. And if you'll do that, you know, God will reflect the spirit of the legacy of New York, and that is for innovation and progress in your own life. Hallelujah. That's awesome. All right. Don't understand all that, but there you go. All right, 915-929. Can we talk real quick, please? Elvis. Okay, that's what I thought. I thought that was the number. All right. Thanks for that New York thing. That was pretty cool. Yeah, you know, I'm stumbling around trying to figure out. I didn't know it used to be Amsterdam. That's how ignorant I am. I did not know that. And King Charles II, now we get King Charles III. So whatever. Anyway, awesome. So thanks for that. That helped me out a little bit there, maybe a lot. So thank you, Jesus, for Carmen, God, that helper in her, God, in Jesus' name. You know, sometimes we think being a helper is like being a secondary thing, but when you hear Jesus talk about being a servant, that's what He talks about. So I see God really, you know, trying to open up and get people to focus more on being a servant instead of trying to, you know, do the big thing, trying to get the big thing going. I'm supposed to be well-known. I'm supposed to be known all over the world. I'm supposed to be this. So we start trying to, you know, get on social media and see how many hits we can get, and, you know, trying to figure out ways to, you know, wheel and deal and do things. And God's just like going, hey, you know, take the one or two people you got, you're dealing with, and learn how to do the best with them and serve. And pretty soon, if you look at it as you're serving instead of trying to be great or trying to be somebody, you know, as most people think that's what trying to be great is trying to, you know, to do great, you know, start trying to do a great thing. And Lord just said, you know, I want you to focus on serving. Jesus was such a servant that he never had enough of things that he needed as far as, you know, like the five loaves and two fish. He had, you know, 5,000 men with women and children, 20, 30,000 people going to feed. Like, there's no way. But what did he do? He focused on what little he had. He blessed it. He gave it to God and broke it. And what did God do? He began to be a servant. He learned how to serve the Father. And when he learned how to serve the Father, he could take anything and give it to the Father. And so nothing came up short. Nothing was not enough. Nothing was, it was always that, you know, I know this in the natural, we don't have enough here, but, you know, I'm going to pray and give it to God, and God's going to take it and multiply and increase it. So So God really showing you how to, and being a servant, a servant is how we learn to, you know, serve God. And do when you serve God, you learn to do things that please Him. Because serving people, they'll say, no, don't rub my back there. Rub it a little bit further to the right there. Yeah, you got that. You know, like cooking something, you know, don't cook it quite so. I like my meat a little sweat. When you start pleasing that person with what they like, because you're a great servant, then they're not going to want nobody but you. I've trained, she's trained, she does it the way I like it. That's what God said with Jesus. Jesus did it the way the Father liked it. He knew right where to scratch his back. He knew right how to cook the fish the right way. It's like he knew right how to please the Father. Whatever the Father wanted, he did it. And he focused on being a servant. And because he did that, he became the greatest. Of course, he was the Son of God, but he learned obedience to the things he suffered. And he learned, you know, how to serve. He became a servant. So when he talked about that, he was talking about himself. You know, that's what I've come to do, is to serve you guys. That's why he washed their feet until they washed his. Because he was positioning himself as a servant. And because he did that, he was able to now be king of everything, lord of everything. Wow, it's amazing. Being a servant. All right. All right, 303-368. I'm going to talk to Ruth Grimm, please.
Hey, Randy, it's Mike. How are you doing?
Hey, good. All right.
Hey.
All right, man. Good to hear from you tonight. Thank you, Jesus, for Mike. Thank you, Lord, for the humility, God. Thank you for working humility, God. Because you know what? Humility is so important. When we humble ourselves before God, you know, it's not like we're ever humble enough. It's like God keeps working humility into us more and more. Because, you know, when you're humble, God is able to exalt you. You know, he can't exalt us. You know, the Bible says, humble yourself before God and he will exalt you in due season. So this whole thing about learning how to not become humble only, but to walk in humility. And I think Jesus learned how to walk. He was already humble, but he learned how to walk in a humility, like being a servant. He learned how to walk as a servant or in humility, you know, and when he did that, you know, God, you know, he was raised up in due season. And so there's always that thing of, you know, humbling ourselves, humility. I don't even know if I know what real humility is. I think I maybe experienced it before. I really don't even know. But, you know, and I've had issues with pride. So because of that, I've had to, you know, ask really God for big help many times. You know, just show me, God, help me to do it your way. And because humility is doing it God's way. Pride is doing it Randy's way. You know, I thought, I got a better idea. I got like Jesus started kind of, he said, man, I got a better idea. This cup can pass for me. You know, hey, that would be awesome. But then he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will. Why? Because he was another level of humility. He was entering in. He was already an extremely humble person, right? He was the smartest man in the earth, had the best 100% activated brain in the world, and yet he was only doing what he saw his father do. That, friend, is humility, my God. Just check out the Bahele, Barroco, Baha, Yeshe. But when he came to the cross of Calvary, that humble man yielded a little bit more and became even more humble, if you will, more broken, more yielded to the Father, because he was wrestling. Yeah, I walk in big humility. He knew he walked in humility, big time humility. That's why God used him so much. And then all of a sudden he came to Gethsemane and he started struggling, because God was, when you're struggling, sometimes in your, you know, my personal ambitions rise up, like, you know, what about this? What about that? What are we going to do? Then God goes like, well, okay, you know, are you willing to, you know, give that up and give it over to me? You know, one more time, I'm going like, okay, not my will, but your will be done. So I come to a whole other level of humility, right? When Christ humbled himself to the work of the cross, that was a whole other level of humility, right? So God's showing you how to walk in that, live in that. Because when that happens, nobody can stop you from being lifted up in God when we humble ourselves and maintain that humility. You know, Peter, first step out of the boat, he did that out of pure need for knowing he couldn't do it himself. And then he got his eyes on the storm. And, you know, so his self-sufficient thing kicked in. And then he started sinking right away, right? Yeah, so thank you, Lord, for that thing with Mike. God just showing him how to not only be humble, but how to maintain humility and activate and walk on different levels of it so you can totally take everything God wants him to take. All right, 612-991, who am I talking to, from, please?
Hello, Randy. This is Joyce from Minnesota. And also, if you could please pray for Blossom.
Blossom, yes, absolutely. All right. All right.
Thank you.
Okay, you're sure welcome. All right, thank you, Lord, for Blossom. How we thank you for Blossom, God, the time she goes through, you know, we're growing up, we all go through heartbroken times where we get heartbroken over this, heartbroken over that. But I thank you, Lord, that every time her heart becomes broken over something, some disappointment, some failure, some thing she thought was going to happen, didn't happen, thought she needed to do, didn't get to do, whatever. God, you're going to be right there with her and say, you know, when she gets disappointed, you're going to show her that it becomes an appointment with God. An appointment with God. And the more we give our disappointments to Blossom, to God, you know, it makes an appointment with him. It's like God's going, okay, I know you're there. I know you heard. I know you, you know, you didn't get what you thought you were going to get. It's really discouraging. And I've been there too. I asked the Father to, remove this, you know, thing from me, and he didn't do it. And yet when it all happened, I've realized it was the best thing anyway. So I thank you, Lord, for helping her with that, God, to show her that the disappointment she goes through, the things that happened that shouldn't have happened and things she wished she would have happened but didn't have. That God, in the disappointment that God, that you're right there to make an appointment with her, saying, I'll never forsake you. I'll never leave you. I will never disappoint you. You may be disappointed first, thinking you didn't get what you, like Jesus did, but in the long haul, you're going to be like, man, I'm sure glad God didn't let me do that. I'm sure glad God helped me do what I did. So thank you, Jesus, for blossoming God, for loving her, for blessing her, God. And helping her, God, through all those struggles and battles of just growing up and being a human being. And in Jesus' name, amen. All right, thank you, Lord, for Joyce tonight, God. Thank you for your favor in her life, God. Thank you for favoring her. Thank you that you show her how to walk in that favor, because when we realize we are favored, Jesus favored us on the cross, all of us, but at the same time, the more we give him the glory and the credit for and the love for favoring us, for laying his life down for us, and then those who learn to acknowledge that favor and are grateful for that favor, Joyce, you know, they start walking in higher levels of favor and of grace and favor, you know, of unmerited, undeserved favor. We start valuing that favor. We start going, God, you know, I could be on my way to hell right now. I could be in hell right now. I could never even make it to heaven. Thank you, Jesus, that you favored me and given him. Jesus was such a grateful, thankful person, Joyce, that he, you know, that's how he entered into the creative power of God in the earth. He took the bread, he blessed it, broke it, gave God thanks, blessed it and broke it, and then gave it out, and it multiplied and increased, you know, because he got God involved in it through his gratefulness, through his gratitude, through his thankfulness. Lord, I thank you for Joyce, God, and her grateful heart, her thankfulness, God. And when the enemy tries to come, you know, calls her to forget, you know, things that God has done, because the Bible says, you know, take communion, do this in remembrance of me, what Jesus has done for us, and the thankfulness and the gratitude that she has to you, Lord, for what you've done. God is going to, you know, cause her life to increase and multiply in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, and bring great blessings to her. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, there's any division or strife going on with people trying to mess with her, whatever things. Trying to mess with that, I should have healed that and make that brand new in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. One more time. I'm going to be right back. Hang on a second. All right. Let's take another call in here tonight. Thanks for being with us. And I'm going to pray for you, Lord. All right. Let's go here to the next caller, 405-934. Who am I talking to your phone, please? At 405-934, are you there?
Hello, this is Autumn from Oklahoma.
Hey, Autumn. All right, Autumn, good to have you tonight. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Autumn from Oklahoma. Thank you, Jesus, for your that special place in your heart for him, God, that you show him that special place in your heart, how that, you know, when you created human beings, you wanted every one of them to walk in your will, because you knew that when they did that, they'd ought to be happy and be blessed, but that would be satisfying. They would find themselves, you know, just automatically connected to you. And when we walk in God's will, really walking the will of God, Autumn, is what true righteousness really is. When we walk in righteousness, it's not just like doing good things. It's really walking in the will of the Father. And that's why Jesus was a righteous man, not because he did righteous things, because he pleased the Father. He did the Father's will. And so I thank you, Lord, for Autumn, God, that you're showing him how to submit to your will, to walk in your will. Even when things don't, it's like Jesus that was, you know, wanted to, you know, maybe come up with some other way other than going to the cross. You know, is there any other way to do this thing? Let this cup pass from me. But he didn't. He yielded to the will of the Father. And it always not only made him happy, you know, in the long haul, it gave him supernatural strength and connection to the Father, to the Lord, so that he had that special relationship with the Father. So I thank you, Lord, for that relationship that you have, that Autumn has with you, God, that you increase that and multiply that, that he realizes that you're truly a father and you created him. You made a way for his, for him to be born. You've seen him. You know him. You know, God, your purposes for him, God. And I thank you, Jesus, that what pleases you, Jesus, what pleases the Father is for me to finish what the will of the Father, to finish what I started with, to finish the work. So I thank you, Lord, for giving that my brother the strength to finish those things that he needs to finish, to be able to finish the things in Jesus' name, to walk through and deal with it and finish it in Jesus' name, so that he can not only be happy with himself, but he'll know that God's happy with him. Like, yeah, Jesus said what pleases the Father is to finish the work that he started. So to finish it, it makes really God, really, really makes God happy. So I thank you, Lord, for Autumn, God, showing him how to make God happy. Like faith is the substance of things, you know, we all know about that, but it says without faith, you can't even please God. So I thank you, Lord, for his faith, for his great faith in Jesus to make the right decisions and to know when love is really real to him and when something's really blessed for him. He can see it, know it, and walk in it. In Jesus' name, and not be fooled by those things that are counterfeits. He knows he's going to know the right thing, the real thing. Amen. In Jesus' name. All right. All right, 847-505, who am I talking to, please?
Hey, this is Marja from Illinois.
Hey, Marja. All right, Marja, good afternoon. Thank you, Lord, for Marja. Thank you, Lord, for that, for the government, God, of her life, the government. We serve a government. We walk under the government. We have the government of the United States we're under. We have the government of God that we walk in. And the Lord's saying to you tonight, when you follow the government of God, above the government of the United States of America, you know, although we've got to obey the laws, but there's some things that sometimes the government will ask us to do that we can't do, or that people will ask us to do that we can't do. They want us to follow their government, what they think is right. So God says, Marjorie, as you follow my government, you do what my will, my kingdom is all about, that I'm going to give you favor and bless you in ways that, you know, nobody can stop it. You know why? Because you're doing the higher level of government. You're walking under the government of the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus did. That's why he was able to conquer Satan and conquer everything. And they could never, you know, they came after him many times, couldn't touch him. Why? Because he's under a different government. He served under the government of Almighty God. And because he did that, you know, everybody tried to influence him, try this, try that. But he said, no. I'm going to do what I see my Father do, because that's what the government of God is. Well, I thank you for opening her eyes, letting her see. And walking in submission to your government, to what you say do, what you say do, God will super exceed anything, anybody, anywhere has to say about who Marge is and what she's called to do and what she's going to be and the blessings in her life. Can't stop it. Cannot stop it. The only thing that can stop it is us. And I thank you, Lord, that her obedience to you, Jesus, is going to bring her favor. In Jesus' name, I decree and declare favor over her life, God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. With God and man. With God and man. In Jesus' name. Let it be done right now. I declare it. Be done. Be done in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right. 720-819. I'm going to talk to
Jeff and Uke in the Nevada.
All right. Nevada. All right. Nevada. Sound like a country, Nevada. What country are you in? Nevada. Yeah. Yeah, what country are y'all in? Yeah. Exactly. What country are you in? What country are you from? yeah, like a telemarketer, but the government of God, you know, like what government are you representing? It's like, you know, I just want to kind of maybe say more of what I said to her, to you for some reason, but the government of God, like God's going to have you working with the government. And the government of God, the government of other nations, like I came out and said, what government are you from? Like, I didn't know what I was saying that for, but it's like, I'll be talking to you and say, what government are you, where are you at? I'm in the government of, you know, China or whatever you be. And so it's like that, though you be, you know, going, dealing with those governments, maybe you don't have to travel to the government to deal with the government. You can deal with the government, you know, right here where we're at, but it's like dealing with different governments. Okay. Oh, what country? International. There you go. Yeah, that's a good one. And it's like, you know, even though you're in these other countries and it's international, it's like, what government are you really from? Well, the one you've been born again from, the kingdom of heaven. And so the kingdom of heaven wants to touch the kingdom of the earth, wants to touch all these kingdoms, all these governments, and get them, like it says in the end, when Jesus Christ comes back, he said, the governments of our Lord have now become the governments of the kingdom, you know, of the earth. So there's something about that happening and working out the tangible realities of, you know, of everyday life, how to, you know, feed people, how to take care of government, how to take care of, you know, money, and how to take care of different things, what to do with wealth, what to do with money, what to do with food, what to do with, you know, how we deal with food, all that stuff, all the provision. So God's called you guys to provision, to be, you know, an answer to, you know, a nation, a city, a place, you know, international, you're from international. Yeah, so, but, you know, just like Jesus, you know, he never really went outside of Jerusalem, you know, but, I mean, out of that area, but he did travel around the area, but yet he was, you know, he went to the center of the earth, which was Jerusalem and Israel, to do his work there, because God knew that him being there in the center of the earth, you know, the whole globe, that when he touched that, the center of it, that everything else would be touched. So God's going to show you guys how to do the same basic thing. It's like, you know, how do we touch this thing, this area, and the center of this country, the center of what's happening in the food realm, the center of what's happening in the money realm, the center, how do we touch the center of it so that, like Jesus did, he didn't send him all over the globe. He just sent him to the center of the earth, which is Jerusalem and Israel. When he did that, then it all just kind of went out everywhere. And so I thank you, Lord, for that and for showing them, God, how to administer your kingdom stuff wherever they go in the name of Jesus, whether at home doing it. That it's not like you have to go to do it, but, you know, you will go, of course. But thank you, Jesus, for that, for the go thing. Hallelujah. Amen. For the kingdom of God that you're really from, the kingdom you're from, the country you're from, it's like the scripture talks about the patriarchs. Hang on a second. Patriarchs. Golly, can you come back here? Patriarchs. God. Wait a second. Patriarch said, when they're divine, are Abraham and his sons, Israel. All right, said the patriarchs, like when Jesus came, he really, I don't know where I'm going with this. There were three patriarchs in the Bible, Isaac, Jacob, traditions. Yeah. So there's something about the countries and patriarchs, and I don't know what that means exactly, but you know, anyway, so God wants to put you in the center of things, whatever that is, at the center of the conversation, center of what's the need of the need that's going on, so that you can, you know, help the kingdom of God bring answers or deliver systems or do whatever to establish that. In Jesus' name. So I thank you, Lord, for that. Open that up for them. in Jesus' name, and give them your favor, God, in that manifest way. Thank you for this new season of favor where we are, you know, we're going to see a lot of things fall apart, and many of those things fall apart. Everything God's been prepping you and teaching you about, it's going to make a way for a lot of things. Like a lot of things people say, I don't want that, no, I don't want that. But when everything falls apart, they go like, okay, now we need some of that now. 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 We're going to see a lot of that go on. And therefore, God's going to use that to establish his kingdom and his country and his way of doing things. Because all of a sudden, where there was no, people are like, I really don't need that, really don't want that. All of a sudden, we're crying out, oh, please do it now, now, we're taking it. And so open up those doors, God, in Jesus' name, and favor and blessing and your will. Amen for them, in Jesus' name. All right, 984-302, my talk group friend, please. 984-302, are you there? That 8-4-3-0-2, you there? Pray for them. I don't know who that is. What that is? 984-3-0-2. Okay, thank you, Jesus, for 984. Well, I thank you for the sufficiency of Christ, God, that you're bringing my friend to that place to where they realize that if they're not getting it from God, it's not going to last long. It's not going to be right. It'll be very temporary. Everything's temporary. It's not God. But when we, you know, when we store not up things on earth, but do everything as unto the Lord, then when the things of earth get blessed in our life, they're coming from God, then, you know, they last. They don't rust. They don't decay. They don't fall apart. Thank you, Lord, for showing my friends here tonight, Jesus, how to walk in that place, live in that place, to understand that place, to know that, you know, just favor from people. Then people do people things. God does God things. God's eternal. The things he does are eternal. Even the natural blessings that we get from the earth, into the earth from God, when they come from God, they come with blessing. They come with grieving and sorrow and trouble and all this excess, you know, stuff going on that, you know, that's unnecessary. But God brings blessings. They come with blessing on them, not with curses on them, not with struggle, not with trouble, not with sweating and having to, you know, work all the time and not get much done. Thank you, Jesus, for that blessing in their life, God. In Jesus' name, open them up to that right now by the power of God. Hallelujah. All right. 504-344, I'm going to talk to you from, please.
Yes. My name is Debbie.
Hi, Debbie. All right. Thank you, Debbie.
Hi.
Good to have you tonight. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Debbie tonight. She can tell me what state she's from, but who cares? Thank you, Lord, for Debbie tonight, God. I thank you, Lord, for showing how to connect that to the power of God. And like right now, I see that, you know, the power of God, there's new surges of power God is releasing through the earth, and he's looking for people who can handle it. He's looking for people who can get it without pride, have it without, you know, we're all going to struggle with pride sometimes. We all have that. We have to learn how to humble ourselves. Humbling ourselves means we, you know, weren't humble, then we become humble. So when we become humble, we start humbling ourselves because God is looking for people who will, he can trust with things. You know, with things, things mess people up. When they get too many things, if they're not careful, they can get messed with. But God's looking for Debbie, he's looking for people that he can trust with information, that if he tells them don't do anything with it, you know, don't tell anybody, keep it to yourself, you'll do that. If he tells you to tell everybody, you'll tell everybody. You know, it's about God trusting you. Everything's about God trusting us. And everything we go through, it's basically the thing is God saying, you know, I took you through that trial to see if I could trust you with certain things. And you say, okay, you did pretty good. But you still need a little work in that, so we're going to get it good. You know, get it going together. Okay, now I can fully trust you in that area. But guess what? I'm going to pour it through you. And it's all about, you know, what happens when we get blessed with things or stuff or information. Like Paul the Apostle was given a thorn in the flesh. You know, I really truly believe that, which is exactly what it says, that, you know, because to keep him from being exalted. Because when you get so much information, it's easy to become exalted. I mean, it happened to anybody. Paul the Apostle was the greatest, one of the greatest men of God in the Bible. You know, if he had trouble with it, you know, how much? So, yeah, so thank you, Lord, for Debbie. I thank you, Lord, for being able to trust her, being able to trust her completely with things. It's using, like you did Joseph. Joseph was the kind of guy that you could leave everything you had, and the people that left him with all that knew that when they came back, it'd be multiplied and increased, not some stolen, some taken, some missing. Some, he would take care of it like it was his own. And that's why he ended up ruling basically with Pharaoh, because he was so trustworthy to be held, you know, whatever responsibility he could get. He did it with all of his heart, and he did it with truth and honesty and fairness. And because of that, God says, okay, you know, you made it 15 years in prison unjustly, and you did good. So now I'm going to bless you with Egypt. So he gave him Egypt with Pharaoh, of course. All right, Debbie, there you go. Thank you, Jesus, for that. All right, 754-255, I'm going to talk for your phone, please.
Hey, Randy, this is Donald and Tanya from Florida.
Sounds like he's about to take a nap. But we caught you just in time, didn't we? We caught you. You caught us, we caught you, we caught each other. There you go. That's kind of the word. Like, you catch something, it catches you, and you got it. It's like, you know, we humble ourselves before God. We, what does it say? It says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. It's like, I see you like in this time of really drawing nigh to God in a new fashion, and God really drawing nigh to you. You know, it's like you learn how to, the Bible says draw nigh to God and then he will draw nigh to you. So it's like, you know, when we're believers, you know, even when we're repentant sinners, we're drawn nigh to God. We may not know who he is, but we're saying, God, I'm a sinner. You know, we draw nigh to him. Can you help me? Can you save me? Yes, here I come. So God really showing you how to do that, Donald, where you draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. And so, you know, we all struggle with that. Am I drawing nigh to God the right way? What's going on? And so God really showing you, you know, how to draw nigh to God. And then you're going to see him, bro, just drawing nigh to you, going, oh, man, that was awesome. Here I come. 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 He's going to come in many different ways. Sometimes it's going to be, you're not going to be known that it's God. But it's going to be God. Like many times God would show up through people, you know, in human bodies, you know, and if it, and the whole thing about entertaining angels unawares, all that whole realm. Well, I thank you for Donald, God. I thank you for that whole place of learning how to draw nigh to God in new levels that he never has known before. In Jesus' name, revelation, how to draw nigh to God. Wow, I'll take some of that. God, that's amazing. Thank you, Jesus. We all need that, man. Learn how to draw nigh to God. Like, can people draw nigh to God when they first get saved, and they kind of do the same old thing all their life, and they never really, really draw nigher, if you will. But God's showing you how to, you know, he's always with us, but it's, some people know him, but some people really get to know him intimately. And that's what God has called you to, is to know him intimately. You have a father thing in you that God wants to reveal the fatherhood of God to you, like he did Paul the Apostle and others. And so thank you, Jesus, for that. And amen, how to resist evil, and like the Bible says, draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. And this is what about, and then yeah, okay, so for Tanya, thank you, Jesus, for Tanya, in Jesus' name. Let me get that scripture here. I'm thinking of some scripture here. Yeah, here it is. Yeah, James 4:7, Tanya, we're going to go here for a second. It says, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God. Oh, it's the same basic scripture. Draw nigh to God, and draw nigh to you. Oh, interesting. That's interesting. Cleanse your hands, your sinners, and purify your heart, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Therefore, laughter be turned to mourning and joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves, and suddenly he will lift you up. Yeah, so it's like this whole thing of, you know, what I saw with you was like, I did not really know those scriptures were together, honest to God. I just looked it up when I heard the Lord say, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and you'll flee. So it's like, first of all, as you know this already, when we submit it to God, then you can resist the devil, and he will flee. But if we're not really submitted to him, so we go through all these trials and things, and the whole thing is we're already submitted to God, but are we submitted at a new level? Like we go different levels of submission to God, like Jesus did. He was submitted to the Father all the way around. But it came to the Garden of Gethsemane, it was a whole other level of submission. You can tell because he was struggling with, can't you just let this cup pass for me? But okay, nevertheless. Three nevertheless is meant, you know, I'm submitting myself to you, God, because if I'm fixing to do business with the devil and I'm going to win, I'm going to need to be submitted to you. So he was brought to a whole other level of submission, Tanya, to where he was able to have the power, of course, to resist Satan and all of his lies and deceptions. Amen. And then he flees from us. So thank you, Lord, for all that. Thank you, Jesus, for showing her, training her, teaching her how to submit herself more and more all the time. Like Jesus was always in a situation where he was learning how to submit himself to you. You know, he learned obedience to the things he suffered. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for that, that we suffer things because we're learning. We're not sinners. We're not about being a sinner or sin. It's about learning and growing. Learning and growing. God is about learning and growing. So, hallelujah. Amen. Submission to God at a higher level, a deeper level, brings more power to resist Satan. Amen. In Jesus' name. It is wiles and lies. All right, 803. 803-901. Do you want to talk to me from, please?
Hey, Rain, it's Angela, South Carolina.
Hey, Angela, how are you doing? Good to have you tonight.
I'm well.
All right, Angela, thank you, Jesus, for Angela. Thank you, Lord, for that supernatural realm, God, of getting an understanding of, man, this is like deep and wide and amazing. It's like an amazing place. And it's like, you know, we think that the supernatural is so narrowed down to we get a formula and it works. But you know, really, it's really about, like we talked to the person before you, about submission to God, about submitting ourselves to the Lord. And because people are going to do things, we're going to say that when we submit to God, then we can find ourselves being able to resist it being too upset. Nothing wrong with being upset. Jesus got upset. I've had people tell me, don't be upset. I'm going to go like, what? You know, sometimes we're supposed to be upset, right? Because the word of God, to not be lukewarm. But that means that sometimes if we're messing up something, we need to be upset enough to stop it, right? If we see other things going on, we need to be upset enough to, nothing wrong with being upset, but it's a matter of, letting the anger of God, deal with things truly by his anger and his understanding. So I thank you, Lord, for that whole place of submission to you, Father, and that there's nothing wrong with anger, nothing wrong with being grieved. The Holy Spirit gets grieved. If he gets grieved, why can't we get grieved? Well, I don't want to be grieved, but, you know, grief tells us something's going on. What do I need to change? What do you need to pray differently? You got somebody else you're concerned about? You're grieved over them? What's this grief about? And so, I'm as an intercessor, I'm always like, you know, okay, God, what's this? Who's this for? What's this information for? I get words, information. I feel things, you know, like things. But I'm like, okay, God, is this for me, for somebody else? What is it? And God really teaching you how to be sensitive to him and ask him. I see you, God, asking God a lot more questions. Like, you already asked him a lot of questions, right? They see him asking him a lot more questions. Like, because when Jesus was in a young boy and he was in the temple, you know, they were amazed by his questions. Your questions reveal what you know, or your questions reveal, you know, where you're going, you know, or what hunger you have for God. Your questions reveal that. It's amazing. I hear people ask me questions. I can tell by the question they ask most of the time where they're at with God. You know, by the question that they ask. I'm not talking about deep questions. I'm just talking about you can just tell, you know, where they're at with God. So it's really amazing. So the questions we ask, yeah. So, and then ask and you shall receive. If you don't ask right, you don't receive. So asking right is important. And God's showing you how to ask and all that. And then you can receive in more and more all the way. All the way with God. Receiving all the way with God. All right, 760-567. You want to talk to Ruth, please?
Hello, this is Jessica from California.
All right, Jessica. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Jessica from California. Thank you, Jesus, for the red lights, for the green lights, for the yellow. Learn how to read the lights. Like, if you don't know how to read stoplights, you think a red light means go, or you don't know. You don't realize that the yellow light means slow down. Some people think it means speed up. That's what I think it means sometimes. Like, speed up is fixing to turn red. Some people say slow down. So learning how to read the lights in your life, learning how to know when to slow down, when to speed up, when to, you know, stop, when to go. And God really showing you how to, you know, stop and go and slow down and do all the things. And that's kind of what Jesus did. He knew how to read. You know, he just kept his eyes on the Father. He kept his eyes. I do whatever I see the Father do. So when he did that, he knew when to stop. And, okay, what are we stopping for? All of a sudden there's a funeral coming down before him because he stopped for a little bit, took a break. And all of a sudden that's stopping. You know, here comes his funeral, and he sees this grieving mother and knowing that it was her only son. He goes over there and says, man, I can't let this pass by me. I gotta raise this kid from the dead. This is mother's only child. You know, and it's in Scripture, you know. And so knowing how to, you know, when to talk to people, like being at the store, stopping at the lettuce department, standing there for a second, sure that somebody comes up there and says, you know, it's a good conversation with them and share stuff with them. So God's showing you how to, you know, how to be moved by the Holy Spirit, how to go when he says go, how to stop when he says stop. For you never know when God says stop what you're fixing to come across. It could be something wonderful. It's been amazing. It was just slow down because he didn't want us to get in too big of a hurry, you know, or get ready to stop or, you know, yeah. So reading the signs that God has before you, right, so that you can, you don't want to have accidents, right? That's a lot of it. Sometimes we have accidents because we don't read the signs properly. Joseph, you know, didn't read the signs properly at first. The signs God gave him, the visions God gave him, he didn't really understand them. So all the whole time, I think he thought he was supposed to, you know, be in Canaan land with his brothers and sisters, and he's going to his brothers and father, and he thought that he was going to be ruling over them right there, but he did it from a whole different position. Hallelujah. So thank you, Lord, for that whole thing about reading, knowing how to read things. Yeah, when to say, when to not say, when to talk, when not to talk. Yeah. Amen. All right. 325-665, who am I talking to, please?
Zach Maxey in San Antonio.
You said Jack from San Antonio?
Zach with a Z.
Zach. Z. Okay, gotcha, Zach. Thank you very much. All right, Zach, yeah. Thank you from San Antonio. All right, thank you, Lord, for Zach tonight, God. I thank you, Lord, for the favor of God on Zach, God. Thank you for see, when God gives you favor, Zach, you know, we can become, you know, arrogant about that. I think I've probably done that in my life. I found myself in favor, and it's like, you know, I didn't realize it, but I was like going, yeah, yeah. So we have to learn how to handle favor. And the more you learn how to handle favor, the more consistent that favor manifests. And we can mess up. Man, I've messed up a lot of things in my life, but I've done good. I've done, you know, sometimes just really mess up stuff. Sometimes I do really good, sometimes, you know, average. And so the more I learn, you know, that when the favor of God's on me, the favor of God's on you because he wants you to do his will. It's not just to do good things or to be rich or to be blessed, have money, and, you know, faith. But favor is to do the will of God. And so if the will of God is for you to be have lots of money because he wants you to pass that money out to people that he wants to have it to, then you realize that what that favor is for. That favor is not for you to have all that money. That's for you to have, you know, money that he wants you to pass it on to whoever he wants to pass it on to. And when you learn that and when you do what he says with it and learn to use the favor God's giving you with the will of God, with the purposes of God, and guess what? God says, man, I can really trust you. I talk about a lot with Joseph. Joseph did that. You know, he was the most trustworthy person because he could leave all your stuff and be sure that when he got back, he'd be well taken care of. You didn't have to worry about nothing with Joseph. So God really put that Joseph anointing on you and to teach you how to be trustworthy, teach you how to handle favor. Sometimes favor is not fair. Sometimes, you know, favor can cause you trouble. Paul the Apostle was favored, and he had a lot of trouble. Joseph was very favored, and he had a lot of trouble. So it doesn't always mean that favor means that everything's going to be great. Sometimes favor means, you know, Jesus had a lot of favor too, right? And though he had a lot of great things go on, he also drew, you know, people who, you know, wanted to take him down. And so favor does all kinds of stuff. So when you learn how to handle favor, The favor of God is for one reason, is to bring the will of God to pass, whatever area it is. Some people do one thing for God, some people do the whole other thing. And they both do this, the will of God, that God's happy. Thank you, Lord, for that favor with Zach, God. and you open that up to him and show him how to, you know, work with that favor. You know, if you look at Paul the Apostle, Zach, I mean, you look at his life, it talks about that God gave him a thorn in the flesh so that he could learn how to, let's look at, let me read it to you exactly. All right, let's go here and look at this for a second. Paul's thorn in the flesh, to keep him from becoming conceited because of those surpassing great revelations that were given. He was giving me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, to torment me. Told me, that's not very much, look like much fun to me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he had said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Because Paul is a very strong-willed person. And God liked him because of that, but he also knew that he had to teach him, you know, he's under the law. He's an amazing lawyer under the law. He knew the law. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was very, strict, very obedient. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees, which means he wasn't a hypocrite. He really did the law the best he could. You know, and so he was so used to performing and getting everything right that God had to say, hey, man, don't depend on your own strength, your own power. So he broke him on a regular basis, kept him from his own strength, just failed him all the time. Like I used to, it did him good, but now it's like, so what are you trying to, he's trying to teach him, my grace is your sufficiency. For my power is made perfect in weakness. So God, all the things that you go through, bro, you should remember that you got to learn how to handle that grace. You know, because grace is what's going to, what God had to teach Paul how to live off grace. My grace is your sufficiency, right? For my power is made perfect in weakness. So God was really trying to show him how to walk in power. And it came through yieldedness and brokenness. And God deliberately caused things to fall apart around him or whatever happened. It wasn't just his eyes. It was a lot more than that. I think demons harassed him wherever he went, came out of the woodwork, wherever he went. Why? Because God wanted him to really not become self-sufficient like he was when he was, before he got born again. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees, right? He was very strong, very godly in under the law. And so God said, man, I love this boy. When he goes after it, he's killing them guys for me, but he don't know who he's killing. He's killing, he's messing with me. So he knocked him off his horse. And grabbed him and said, come on, man, I need you. And God loved it, that the way Paul was like that. And he just knew his weaknesses, knew his strengths, and knew how to deal with him. And Paul had to learn how to deal with grace. He kept trying to get God to take it away. And God said, this is my favor. I'm trying to teach you how to live off grace. Amen. So God's going to show you how to live off grace, bro. And it all manifests itself in the power of God. Come on over our lives. Amen. In our weaknesses. Amen. All right. Anyway, all right. That's my last caller so far tonight. Thank you for being with me tonight. The one call with a hand, and they don't have a hand up. One caller left. All right. We've been going out for a couple hours now. About an hour or so. About an hour and a half. Prophesying to people, praying over people. Thank you for letting us pray over you tonight. We appreciate it. We're glad you're here. Got anything you need? Let me know. I'm moving right now. I'm really working a lot. So I may take off early tonight. I may not hang on until 12 o'clock, I'm not sure. So if you want to get in there, get that hand up and let us pray for you. I'd love to pray for you tonight. But I'm going to actually do some moving tonight. So we'll be working here in a little bit. So pray for me as I do that. Things are going good. It's really awesome. It's really an open door for me as far as, you know, the new level for me. All right. So taking the studio, taking all the stuff and it's really cool. Really interesting. Really, really interesting. All right. It's just temporary, but this is a good next level move. So, I'll talk more about it later, but All right, you guys, anybody else want prayer tonight? Could I end up there? If you don't, raise your hand pretty quick. I'm going to call it a night so I can start moving. All right, I'm going to give it just a moment. I'll be right back.